This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, March the 28th. Cecil.
Yeah.
Can I borrow $170 million, please?
Do you think he's going to make it?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to make it. I think that number was probably created
in a sidebar between.
Right. This is what I can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of a thing. I think that the intention was to create a situation that Trump could get out of.
Yeah.
Right. That he wasn't going to lose, start having his assets seized, start having his, you know, name taken off of buildings and shit and start having all that happen. I think that was very much the intention.
Told you. He's a fucking hornet that you literally cannot kill.
But, you know, remember that, like, this is just the bond
for
the appeal.
No, you're absolutely right.
So if he loses the appeal, and there's really no reason to think that he would win the appeal.
That money just goes.
Then it's not just the 170, it's the original judgment.
Yeah.
So the appeal.
But all that money goes.
Yeah. And all that.
So all that money goes. Now he's 170.
Right.
And then he's got to come up with the rest of it.
Right.
And so that's when they start seizing up to what they need.
Yep. Absolutely. So, you know, I am still very hopeful that this hurts him maximally.
Sure.
And actually, it sounds like it's going to hurt him most maximally anyway, right? Like, I mean, not maximally, I guess, but deeply, because he just had to come up with $100 million or so for the E. Jean Carroll lawsuit. And now he's got to come up with, you know, what God, I think it's $170 million, I think the number is. It's a lot of fucking money. Yeah. You know, and I think he's out of cash. I think there's no more liquidity left.
He's talking to people, these banks and other types of lenders and bond companies. And his son even said that they were laughed out of the room.
Yeah, good. Good. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sell some more fucking sneakers, asshole.
Well, he doesn't have to, Tom, because he has a new grift.
He has two new grifts, right? Okay. Because he has the IPO launch of Truth Social.
That's right. That's
which
right.
did raise a lot of fucking money. But like the money that Truth Social launch raised, this is meme coin money, man. There's no possible way Truth Social will be profitable. It's impossible. Like I've read like three articles on this. Like it is impossible that Truth Social will be profitable. That money is just fucking meme coin money. It's just money right down the fucking drain. It's like, we invested in thinking thoughts about right-wing happiness. That's what it is. It's just garbage.
And it's just going to get flushed away. There's nothing that can save that. Because you're not going to be, how are you going to be able to create advertising dollars?
No, yeah.
It's impossible to create that kind of advertising dollars. It doesn't have the same sort of place that Twitter does on people's phones. It doesn't have the same sort of place in your brain that Twitter does or whatever other places, Facebook, et cetera.
And it took Twitter like 10 plus years to become profitable. It like what a lot of people I think don't realize, and I didn't until I started reading about it, is a lot of these companies are venture capital funded. So they are not in and of themselves in the black. They are not profitable in and of themselves. They exist.
Twitter ever profitable? Because I don't know that it was.
Twitter was profitable like twice.
Okay.
So Twitter is massively bigger than Truth Social.
Sure.
And they struggle with their business model to make any money.
Well, especially with jackass in chief.
Yeah, it's gone way down since fucking Musk took over, like, which is great. I love that. I love that he spent $44 billion or whatever his stupid ass number was to acquire a property that then lost value immediately.
Well, the other venture that I think is so important to the world is... He's selling a Bible.
It's a
God Bless the USA Bibles. They're $59.99. First, I want to just say, Tom, Bibles are loss leaders.
Yeah, I know, man.
You get a Bible for free.
Yeah.
You can take the one home from your hotel room. They don't The people who print Bibles and buy Bibles and stock Bibles to give Bibles away,
right?
Those people do not expect to make any money off the Bible. They want to make money off your ass in the pew who's going to tie to them every week. Yeah. That's the money. It's a loss leader, man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, 100%. They don't want your $12.99 for your book, for their book, right? And it is funny, just as an aside, whenever Haley and I travel, we always take the Bible and then we write where we were at on it and we take it home. And it's become like a little like souvenir that we take home. So we have a stack of the Gideon Bibles.
Nice.
With like places we've been that have been written inside the Bibles. But they don't want your $12.99 because that's a one-time purchase, right? They want your 10% for fucking ever, generationally.
Yeah.
That's a way better business model. But what Trump needs is money to fund his grifts. It was fucking gilded sneakers last week. It was like, I promise I'm an astronaut, or here's how cool I would look if I were a cowboy, digital baseball cards before. It's the cringiest shit that you could possibly imagine. And now he's grifting out Bibles, but it's not just a Bible.
I want to read what it is. Can I read
it? You've got to read it. It's the best.
So besides the King James Version translation, it includes copies of the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and Tom, a handwritten chorus of the famous Greenwood song, Proud to Be an American.
Handwritten by who?
Who? Jesus.
Like, dude.
Jesus to write it. But it's all kind of wonky because he's got a big fucking hole in his hand. That's fucking amazing.
He's got a quill and ink and he's like dipping it in his hand to write.
He's writing through his hand. Fucking amazing.
Trick writing.
Fucking amazing. It's so amazing that it has a fucking Lee Greenwood.
Lee Greenwood.
Mwah.
It's perfect.
You couldn't feed this into ChatGPT and tell me, make me the cringiest Bible.
Do you remember when we were talking about like how America has become and we really created a new religion? We've talked about this a bunch. So we've created a new religion and it is different than Christianity. It is this sort of Americana Christianity that has really become like the hallmark and the foundation of what we think about when we think about right-wing politics now and the Christianity that has pervaded right-wing politics. There couldn't be anything more, yes, that's what this is, than selling a Bible that is just like chock full of American, you know, history documents, you know, our founding documents, and then a fucking bad country song by a yokel. And then it's just handwritten by whoever hand wrote it, probably in fucking China.
It's so amazing. Right?
You know that this is handwritten. So not by Lee Greenwood, man. Oh, you think Lee Greenwood's right? You think Trump's writing this?
I hope.
It just says handwritten.
I hope Lee Greenwood wrote it.
I hope it's some asshole like me with terrible handwriting. I hope you get some indecipherable gibber fuck writing. Some hieroglyphic fucking second grader bullshit.
It looks like a fucking doctor prescription. What I love too.
God, it's so cringy.
What I love too, I want to play this for you, Tom, because it's so fucking good. So they asked him about his Bible. They brought him on a show and they asked him about his Bible. And so I want to play this for everybody so that they can hear what Trump had to say about his Bible.
And where is this at? Where do they have him?
So this was on a TV show and I'm not quite sure exactly where it was from. It's Bloomberg listed it and it's called With All Due Respect. So I don't know if that's the name of the show or if they're quoting another show, they're using a clip from another show. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. You mentioned the Bible. You've been talking about how it's your favorite book. And you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favored Bible verses are and why.
I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
verse that means a lot to you that you think about or cite.
The Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics.
Even to cite a verse that you like.
No, I don't want to do that.
Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy?
Probably equal. I think it's just an incredible. The whole Bible is an incredible. I joke very much so. They always hold up the Art of the Deal. I say my second favorite book of all time.
What's that? Hold on. Hey, so.
There's no way.
So you're not are you a New Testament or an Old Testament guy? Equal.
This is exactly the same thing as when Sarah Palin's like, I read all the newspapers.
Who's your favorite apostle? I'm a kind of a Ringo guy.
Apostle Phil. I think Apostle Phil was good.
You know what? What's your favorite song? Hard Day's Night, kind of good. If I'm in the mood for it, Hey Jude. Like, he has no idea what he's talking about. The reason why he immediately shut down the conversation is because he has never opened a Bible in his life, and he's using it to grift religious people.
Yeah, remember
what
he was—
all he's doing.
And the best part is the religious people are buying it. Well, you stupid motherfuckers, some of them are buying it.
Some of them are pushing back. I've seen articles.
Oh,
some evangelicals think this has gone too far.
Oh, I kind of hope that he's finally pushed.
I hope this is
this is
the thing. You made fun of their fucking goofy little book, right? This nonsense book that has been passed down and passed down and passed down and pretends to be this tome from the Lord that gives us all our instructions and also tells us about our history. It's a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
It's inscrutable nonsense today. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. It's the most basic platitude garbage when it comes to morality. It has terrible ideas that lead to a ton of really bad interpretations that cause people to harm other people. It's not a great book, man.
No, it's not. It is a book that leaves out and doesn't address some of the easiest, most basic moral questions of all time. It is a bloodlust book. It is 100% a fucking bloodlust book. The Ten Commandments are trash.
Yeah.
They're absolute trash. They're trash for what they say, and they're trash for what they exclude. And then, like you said, it's full of just a bunch of stuff. Like, it's full of a bunch of parables of shit that never happened. It's full of a bunch of, like, historicity of bullshit that never fucking happened. And it's just full of a bunch of, like you said, inscrutable writing. That, like, read Revelation and tell me that that's anything. Revelation is nothing. Read Revelation and be like, that's something meaningful to me. That is going to affect how I live next Thursday. That's nonsense, man.
Read fucking any of the parables and things that are happening early in the Bible. When somebody comes up and says, hey, that's my baby, she took it. Okay, cut the baby in half. And one person's going, cut the baby in half. And the other one says, no. Oh, it's clearly your baby. Who the fuck falls for that, man? Yeah. Why would she even take the baby if she was just like, you know, what I really wanted was just half a baby. I didn't want to eat the whole baby. What kind of dumbass story is it?
Well,
and how is that? How is that your fucking thing that you passed down from fucking father to son to daughter to whatever the fuck? How is that? How is it?
Dude, I do, like, read about Abraham. Read about Lot. Read about fucking Job. Any of those stories, read them and be like, well, okay, all of those are the worst.
The dumbest.
They're the worst. Like, you would not if it was not written in the Bible, and I told you that story and changed the names but kept the essential story the same, and I said, here is one of the wisest tales that can possibly be told, and I told you that story, excluded from the context with different names and changed the locations, right? And said, it's the same story, same exact story. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would be like, that has actually got mad wisdom. I am changed from hearing that. You just wouldn't. You just 100% wouldn't. It's nothing.
There's more wisdom in the fucking sour grape story.
Yes.
Like Aesop's fables.
Aesop's fables actually does contain a hell of a lot of wisdom by comparison. You're absolutely right. Yeah. That's a great one.
And, you know, like, and that's written around the same time.
Right.
You just chose all the worst shit.
It's awful. The Bible's fucking awful. But these Christians are fucking all furious because there's, like, we got a guest in the studio. There's, like, a little moth flying around.
I think I got it.
They're all furious because, like, oh, this is now too far. It wasn't too far when you approved of the police beating protesters in the street. It wasn't too far when people were being tear gassed and they were being hauled off in unmarked vans, right? It wasn't too far when veterans were getting their fucking arms broken for standing too close to the fascist supporters of fucking state-sponsored violence. None of that was too far. It wasn't too far when you were doing everything you could to accelerate and spread a fucking plague around the United States. It wasn't too far when he took credit for the plague, and he also took, undermined the vaccine that he was taking credit for. None of that was too far. It wasn't too far. Like, no matter what he did, none of that was too far, right? Like, there's 1,000 things I could name. None of that was too far. Like, the tariffs on China weren't too far. Moving our embassy in Israel wasn't too far. Just a fucking panoply of awful shit. And the Christians like, well, you can't sell our book.
Yeah.
This is it. This is your line in the sand, you fucking moral pussies.
I think it was because it wasn't ever them, right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Now he's victimizing them.
Right.
Before, he was victimizing other people. And they don't care in fact, they like it when he victimizes them. That's what makes them choose him. But when it's suddenly us and he's using us and it's such an obvious fucking grift. I mean, it's such an obvious grift. Now, don't get me wrong. There are going to be people who are going to see this and they're going to think, this is the Bible for me. I'm a religious person and this is the Bible I'm going to have. There's going to be a ton of people who are going to be waving these Bibles around. Don't get me wrong. But I did see some unrest popping here and there.
Good.
And I think this could be one of those things that, you know, is the release valve that is needed on a lot of these evangelicals who have been riding his train the entire time.
And has anything ever looked more desperate than his shoe sales and his fucking baseball card bullshit and his fucking Lee Greenwood handwritten bad lyrics to a shit song?
Handwritten, Tom. Handwritten.
Handwritten by somebody in a fucking factory.
It's just somebody. It's a font.
It is a font.
They put it in a thing. Somebody put it in Photoshop. Back when I used to work at a university and they had a person who what the university was named after. Well, that person lived in manuscript days, right?
Yeah.
Well, we had a font that somebody had created based on his handwriting.
Oh, shit.
So
that's
you
awesome.
Could write based on his hand. You could write a couple quotes out from him.
Right.
That completely fabricated, like, I like big butts and I cannot lie or something. You could make him say that.
Right.
Through his through
manuscript
this
font.
This manuscript font. So anybody, it can look like anything you want.
Right. When you were a kid, did you ever get in trouble and have a writing assignment?
Yeah, sure.
Can you imagine if this were handwritten? I agree with you. It's probably just screen printed or just, yeah, you know, yeah, printed out.
Sure.
Well, if it's not, let's assume for funsies that it's actually handwritten. That means that it's somebody's job to have a bad punishment from your dad. Right? Somebody's got to go to work, their hands all fucking cramped up and shitty, and just like, ah, fuck, I got carpal tunnel and shit. I got to write the goddamn proud to be an American. It's and you know it's not being done on shore. So you know there's somebody offshore somewhere making fucking 18 cents an hour with fucking crippling hand arthritis writing, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know, whoopsh, 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 I'm free. Faster, write faster, write the fucking proud to be an American faster.
That's in a Bible sweatshop.
Yeah, for real. The only way to make this make sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
it's
shit,
amazing.
Man.
It is. It is peak America.
Send me back to the cobalt mine. I don't want to write more of these fucking lyrics.
Peak America.
Peak America,
it has happened.
Yeah.
What is it you wanted me to reconcile myself to? I was born here almost 60 years ago. I'm not going to live another 60 years. You always told me it takes time. It has taken my father's time, my mother's time, my uncle's time, my brother's and my sister's time, my niece's and my nephew's time. How much time do you want for your progress?
All right, this story comes from AL.com. It's some Alabama thing. Alabama Democrat Marilyn Lands, running on IVF ruling, flips Republican House seat. Fucking A, man. Good. This is what Democrats need to do. This is the blueprint, right? This is the blueprint. This is a seat that went to Trump by 20 points.
Yeah.
Like a district that went to Trump by 20 points. And she didn't just win. She fucking curb stomp won.
There is a piece that is important to also mention is that the reason why they're even having this special election is the person who won that seat by 20 points was also caught for corruption.
Yeah.
So he was caught and removed from the body. That means that there's a possibility that some people are voting because of this IVF, but other people are voting because the corruption pissed them off. So there's a possibility that's
sure.
the case. But even still, it still is heartening to see because this has been exactly what has happened every single time they've decided to try to play with reproductive rights and put those reproductive rights on the ticket somewhere, no matter where it's at. Now, this is it indirectly, right?
Yeah.
You have a reproductive right that is indirectly on. This woman is saying, I'm pro-IVF. The person who was before her, or at least the judge in that state, was not. And that's a reflection of this person's character and a reflection of their values. And so they chose to put this person in the seat. But everywhere else across the country, we talked about it the entire time. Since Dobbs, we've talked about this.
Yes. Yeah. This is Democrats have an opportunity to, and they fucking better seize it because this is an opportunity where they, like you've said before, the dog caught the car. When the Dobbs decision happened, it is a fantastically unpopular decision by all polling. People don't like this decision. This is not a popular decision. This is a fantastically unpopular decision. And as it ages, it gets less popular.
Yeah.
It is not doing well at the polls every single time, and without exception, that there's a referendum on abortion. That referendum goes in the pro-healthcare stance every single time. We've not had a single loss, not a single loss on any of these referendums. Democrats need to see this and say, this is our moment. What are we running on? What are we running on? We're running on this. We need to fix this problem. The only way we're going to fix it is legislatively. We lost the judiciary. We have to fix this legislatively. We've got to run on this. I think they've got to put these people who have been talking, because the Republicans, 201 just about, have been vocal in their support for Dobbs and for, you know, pro-life stances. They've had to. It's been a litmus test for the right for a long time. So if you're running against a Republican, it would not be difficult to find video, audio, writing of their pro-life stance. Put that shit up there. Put yourself next to it. That's that guy. They want to take your rights away. I don't. Who are you voting for? I mean, like, really make this like a stark A-B choice. We need to simplify A-B choices.
I think one of the things that you got to do if you're running against them is you need to look at all their previous tape, and you need to take that tape and find places where they say that life begins at conception.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody across the country saw this, and they saw, like you pointed out, this is the logical extension of life begins at conception. IVF rulings that took it off the board for people, that specifically says life begins at conception. Yeah. That is the natural extension of that philosophy. You can't look at it any other way. If you start going across the country and start saying, this person said life at conception, this person said life at conception, this person said life at conception, suddenly you're putting big targets on a ton of people who might not have been assailable before, but suddenly, because this one judge tried to take it to its logical extension, he could doom several Republicans across the country in the upcoming election.
Absolutely. It's this really, we should have a really solid playbook for 24. We should have a really solid playbook for November. I think the Republicans for the longest time have told us who they are. They've been telling us what they want. They've been telegraphing the world that they're trying to build. And as they start to build that world, it becomes apparent that, oh, they weren't fucking kidding.
Yeah.
That's actually exactly what they always said. That's exactly what they always were going to do. It's exactly who they are. This should actually be pretty simple to run against. Because last time I checked, most people in this country are women. It's 51%. It's 51% whose health care is literally at stake. Most of this country's health care is at stake in this next election and in every subsequent election. But like, if we lose, it's really hard to claw your rights back.
The one thing that is missing from what you're saying, though, I saw a graph the other day that was posted, and they showed who would have won the elections if only women voted in America and if only men voted in America since Reagan. So presidential election since Reagan. The only time a Republican won when you only counted women's votes, the only time a Republican won was Reagan's second term. The rest of the time, it was, you know, Dukakis won. They had Gore won. They had Kerry won. So all these losses that the Democrats have taken, the women already vote Democratic. A lot of women already vote Democratic. What you've got to do is some of the other pieces that people are putting into place where they're trying to take and make men responsible.
Yeah.
That is where you're going to start to see some real change in those places. Because if you look at the opposite of that graph, there's like one Democratic president since the 80s.
Really? If they only counted male votes?
I think Clinton won both, but Barack Obama's first term and that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But you know, like, what abortion and reproductive rights issues could do too is mobilize people who don't normally vote.
That's also true. I won't discount that.
I think they could mobilize people who don't vote. I think they could move the independent needle a little bit. I think they could move the centrist needle a little bit, you know, and it should be more than just women, right? Like, men should care about this deeply, deeply too, right? if you are in a situation where somebody in your life becomes pregnant and you're a man and it's not you, right? Like you, it's not like there's no fucking stake in that game. Like you may still have a financial responsibility. It still might fundamentally change everything in your life. Yeah. Like effectively overnight, there's a lot of like trickle down effect, even if you're not the one who's getting pregnant and giving birth.
I don't disagree.
It's amazing to me that men don't seem to have the same, or not even not the same, a similar gut reaction to their own like sort of mortality on this issue, right? Because like, yeah, right now, if you're involved in a sexual transaction and the woman gets pregnant and she can't get an abortion, you're on the financial hook and you also might be on the emotional and social hook. It's a big fucking deal. You know, it's a big fucking deal. So like we all have a stake in this. So I was speaking about just women because like obviously it's like their
sure,
body.
Sure.
But we all have a lot to lose by hurting women.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also should wake people up and say they came for their bodily autonomy and I didn't say anything
because
it wasn't mine.
Right.
Right. You've got to look at the women across the country losing their bodily autonomy and say, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next for all of us?
Yeah.
Do they want to keep me alive like the guy in that Metallica song?
Right.
When
yeah.
I
yeah.
want to die.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, they've as much as said that some judges have as much as said that, well, with Dobbs, gay marriage is back on the yeah. table. You know, even some have even said like contraception is on the table. Some have even said like anti-miscegenation laws may be back in play. And you're like, we're building a world that's going to be 150 years yeah. in the past mm-hmm. if we're not careful.
If this was a conspiracy, they'd have to get all those people to lie.
Man, this is from NPR. The Baltimore Bridge collapse gave conspiracy theorists a chance to boost themselves. So everybody knows, I think at this point, that a container ship with like 95,000 tons of cargo, an enormous, enormous container ship, ran into the Francis Scott Key Bridge a day or two ago when we were recording this. I think it happened Tuesday. The bridge collapsed. 6 people, I think, are presumed dead at this point. A huge infrastructure snag, you know, ships can't get through. It's a big fucking problem. That's just a thing that happened because the ship's power went out. They recovered the black box. There's no like conspiracy here. Within minutes, man, the conspiracy started flowing.
And I think one of the things that this article points out, which is something we talked about with the Super Bowl, is it says the title is Chance to Boost Themselves, mm-hmm. right? And I think we talked about it with the Super Bowl when we said, it's not about the Super Bowl. It's about the chance to use that hashtag to get my yep. name out there at the same time. They find these culture war battlegrounds because they're the most famous things right now on the internet. And the same thing happens here. One of the people who came out and said it was a false flag or something, a terrorist attack, was Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate.
And so yep. they took his tweet and they sort of quoted it. And then there's a bunch of stuff underneath it that says it's false, but it's basically him just saying, look, it's a terrorist attack. Well, Andrew Tate doesn't have a theory about this. What Andrew Tate does is he sees yep. that there's a hashtag that's circulating,
yep.
finds out about it, and then immediately has the hottest, most controversial take he can have, because Twitter is perfect for this. What Twitter allows is, it not only allows me to disagree with you and write something dumb, but it also allows me to quote tweet you. So if I quote tweet you, that sends your tweet to more people. Now, maybe it's going to go to a bunch of people that are going to flame you, but you don't care, because just like P.T. Barnum said, I don't care what you say about me, just spell my name right.
Right.
And that's essentially what is happening here, is these guys are all jumping on this grenade as quickly as they can. Their takes are the stupidest takes in the world, but it doesn't matter long as it gets pushed out into the world and into the ether, and people see it and say, okay, I'm going to go check this guy's Twitter feed out. He'll get followers because of it.
Yeah. You know, all brands have understood this basic tactic for time immemorial, right? It doesn't matter what your commercial really says. If you can get people singing the jingle, if you can get people recognizing your product from the billboard, from iteration, that is how you create brand recognition. So suspected sex trafficker Andrew Tate tweets out this fucking nonsense. It has nothing to do with whether or not he believes it, to your point. He's trying to get his brand out there. It's another opportunity to put his brand in front of more eyes. And fucking Alex Jones sees it. And Alex Jones is like, oh, World War III is happening. It's World War III right now. Bruh, Alex Jones. And he like puts it out there because it's another chance for him to get on the big screen. It's like they're all jumbotroning themselves. Yeah. Your Super Bowl analogy is perfect because they're all jumbotroning themselves right now. It's the opportunity that they have to get on the big screen and get in front of the big camera. So like as soon as this happens, there was a million conspiracy theories that popped up. You know, some people were blaming it on, you know, I mean, literally name anything. COVID vaccines. I saw fucking people blaming a boat hits a bridge and people are like, COVID vaccines.
DEI hires.
DEI hires, yes. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is why a boat hit a bridge. The amount, let's say that's the other thing is that whatever your nonsense du jour happens to be, whatever is your particular brand that you're grifting off of, because that's the other thing is these guys are all grifters, right? They're all creating a brand, and that's not the end. That's not the something-something profit is they sell you some shit, right? So the more you know Andrew Tate, the more you know Alex Jones, the more you know any of these grifters, the more that name recognition clicks and rings and clicks and rings and becomes embedded in your brain like the fucking Empire carpet number, the more that when they go to grift, when they go to sell their next product, when they go to sell their supplements, when they go to sell their shit, there will be a credibility attached because that name in your mind has been linked to something. It flags differently. It's brighter on the fucking infographic of your brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this whole thing, brands have always known this, man.
You're absolutely right. And these people have been using social media this way for years. And it's something that, you know, took me a while to understand. I always thought, oh, well, who is this guy and why does he have this take? And it never occurred to me that he has a take because it's a great thing to attach his kite to right now.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Andrew Tate doesn't care about this bridge. Andrew Tate's not an engineer. He has literally no idea. Also, why would you go to somebody with suspected CTE to tell you about your bridge? I would ask him a question about any kind of structural engineering ever.
No.
He can't even protect the structural engineering of his own head. Why would I fucking trust him with a bridge?
I would ask him what the prisons are like in Romania.
Yeah.
That's all
he probably knows that.
Yeah, he knows that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, what's jail like in Romania? Yeah. That I would ask him. Anything else?
Literally anything else. No. I cannot think of a single thing I would want his hot take on.
No. Yeah. He's got the guy has no fucking credibility, but he's got a brand. Look, it's so funny because a lot of these guys will flash to you just how much success they have grifting you, right? Andrew Tate is the best example. He'll stand in front of all the cars your dumb ass bought for him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll stand in front of it and like wear fucking crazy clothes and all the rest of it, like, you know, bling himself out with all this stuff that he bought grifting you. And then he'll sell you this idea back to yourself that if you give him money, it's not just to pay for his Bugatti. It's so you can get a Bugatti of your own. You can get your own Bugatti.
It's literally that prosperity gospel for guys that can't get laid.
Yeah. It's incel prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
It's exactly it. That's perfect. That's fucking perfect.
Hell no. You in here for some marijuana? Marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I seen them.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
Huh?
No. No, I can't say I have.
I didn't think so.
Boo this man!
Oh, this is great. This is from Newsweek. Kyle Rittenhouse storms off the stage after being confronted by students. He was speaking at a Turning Point USA thing.
Yeah, and it's Charlie Kirk is that Turning Point USA guy, I think. I'm pretty sure
it's
Charlie
Kirk. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, he's the fucking worst.
And so here's the short video of it. I'm going to play it. People who are listening, what happens is someone from the crowd is recording and also is quite loud in this. So the voice you're hearing constantly is the person who's filming. You might be able to hear Kyle say something. He'll probably say something like, I don't know anything about that, but that's really all Kyle's going to say in here. And then he gets marched off at the very end. So.
The CEO of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, has said a lot of racist things.
Like, what racist things has Charlie Kirk said? We're gonna have a little bit of a dialogue about what racist, what racist things has Charlie Kirk said?
Okay, I'll answer the question of racist things he said. He said we shouldn't celebrate Juneteenth, we shouldn't celebrate Martin Luther King Day, we should be working those days. He's called Ketanji Brown Jackson an affirmative action hire. He said all this nonsense about George Floyd, and he said he'd be scared if a black pilot was on a plane. Does that not seem racist?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, well, after all the things I just told you, would you consider that hate speech?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Then he gets walked off the stage.
Yep.
Right. Pretty much right afterwards, he gets knocked. He gets walked off.
He damn near gets vaudeville hooked off.
What is? there's good and bad here. The good is that there's people there who are engaging him in dialogue, and he can't have those conversations.
Yeah.
Immediately, he gets pulled off. Now it sounds like there was more back and forth than what was put on in just a short video. It sounds like there was maybe more time that he stood up there and did some dialogue with people. But at the end, when they asked him some questions, they finally walked him off when he couldn't take it. And I think the good is it shows that I think that they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to people who they're putting up on
stage.
Fuck
yeah, man. This, Kyle Rittenhouse?
He's not a person who's a thinker. He's a guy who used a gun they like.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason. He used a gun they like to kill someone during a time they didn't like.
Yeah, he is so emblematic of the problem. The fact that they would elevate Kyle Rittenhouse to some kind of status.
Yeah.
As if Kyle Rittenhouse were anything other than a guy who murdered people.
That's all he did.
Like this is a fucking 17-year-old kid who murdered a couple of people. And now he's become their hero. He's not a thinker. He's not a speaker. He's not an author. He is not anything except for somebody who showed up to a rally. He murdered two people. And something, so because he had an AR-15, because he was opposing the Black Lives Matter protests, he's become a hero of the right.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the right.
Really
Kyle
does.
Rittenhouse, he's got no thoughts. He shows up. He's not educated. He doesn't even know shit about like Charlie Kirk. This is Charlie Kirk's fucking event. He doesn't know anything about what Charlie Kirk stands for. He's just places. Kyle Rittenhouse is just cashing in on the right's bloodlust.
Yeah.
And their need for him as a sort of like murder totem to say like, hey, sometimes white people can get away with murder even when it's fucking filmed and on TV and loud and proud. And isn't that great? The right.
I think the difference between him and somebody like Milo Yiannopoulos, though, is Milo Yiannopoulos is a rhetorician.
Yeah.
So he can sit on stage and say snarky shit he would be able, I think, to sit up there and weather those questions.
Oh, yeah. He would banter hard.
Because
he
would banter back and he would say something. Same thing with Ben Shapiro, right? I don't think Ben Shapiro is an amazing speaker or someone who has amazing thoughts and is brilliant. I think Ben Shapiro is just really good at debate. And good at debate in the sense that he's a rhetorician. Not good at debate and winning a debate. He would never convince me that he won, but he can change the subject very quickly and get the audience to think about something else very quickly. I've seen him do it multiple times. So those people aren't vulnerable to what happened to him. They're just not vulnerable to that.
100%.
And I think like, while it's great that it happened to Kyle Rittenhouse, I also want to point out, I don't think this is a playbook that somebody else wouldn't probably gobble up.
Oh yeah. It works. Like you said, it works with Kyle Rittenhouse because he's a fucking dummy and he's ill-prepared and he's inexperienced. So he's just some fucking guy standing in front of a podium that they trot out, and they really should just trot him out and have him take pictures.
Yeah.
Because he's got nothing to say.
That's all they want to do anyway. They just want to make you mad.
Right.
That's all they want.
Nothing to say. So they should really just trot him out and everybody can take a picture with a fucking murderer, and then they can feel like they're whatever they need to feel like.
Yeah.
And that's it. When you put him in front of a podium and he's going to be asked questions by the audience, he's going to get fucking slaughtered. He can't answer even a very easy, basic question about the host of the fucking event that he's at. That's pathetic. That's genuinely pathetic.
And what I'm looking at, intimate is this Stud Muffin's middle name. So tell me, my man, you nervous in the service?
Not really.
Speaking of Charlie Kirk, Tom,
This is unbelievable tape.
We
gotta play the tape.
The problem is that it's a 7-minute tape.
Yeah,
so I have to go. I have to fast forward quite a bit to get to the quote. But this is Charlie Kirk on, I don't know, his
thought crime show.
Yeah,
Charlie Kirk and some other.
And it says like Recolonize Haiti is the name of the. So that'll tell you like how fucking terrifying this is. But I'm gonna try to play this for everybody so that we can hear what Charlie Kirk has to say about Haiti. If you don't know what's going on in Haiti, Haiti's kind of a mess right now. There's gangs that have taken over. Their prime minister stepped down. It's factions of people. There's compounds now and
bodies in the street. Their previous prime minister or president, I don't remember what you have, was murdered in his apartment or his home. His wife actually was arrested recently for conspiring with the murderers. So like, and then the interim prime minister or president or whatever it is, you know, recently like flew to, I think, Kenya to ask the African Union to plead with them for help. And then he was prevented from returning because warlords took over the airport.
Jesus.
So he got redirected and couldn't even land in his own country.
My God.
So it's bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad. Yeah.
So here we go. So here's Charlie Kirk. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to embiggenate this. Every time I hit the button, it doesn't let me. So,
you know, disaster state. I don't know if it's fixable. And one of the reason is that I think part of the country is literally under a spiritual oppression. I've talked to missionaries and missionaries that have gone there, and they say they've seen the darkest stuff that a human being can see. In fact, I know people that have come that went to Haiti passively as like agnostic atheists, and they came back searching for Jesus because they saw like legit demonic activity.
Well, do they say any more?
No. There was one guy who saw somebody who literally didn't sleep for 2 weeks. And would just like run around and not sleep
Whole
island.
I was going to let you play it. I really was. I'm going to let you finish. But like, how would you know somebody didn't sleep for 2 weeks unless you also didn't sleep for 2 weeks?
I had a camera on him, like Paranormal Activity.
Right? Wait, I just like, maybe they're sleeping when you're sleeping.
There's also reasons why somebody sleeps less that might not be demonic related.
Like, I like everything is not demonic. Everything that you see is not demons. Like, first of all, whatever you saw, it wasn't demons.
Yeah.
But also, you didn't see somebody not sleep for 2 weeks. You literally can't do that unless you're like chained to that person.
Yeah, unless you do that.
And you are also awake for 2 weeks, in which case, were you also possessed by demons?
They weren't as energetic, Tom. I think that's why they weren't.
I just, like, even just the first claim. And you guys, I don't know if you can see this, but you know that thing when somebody is searching for the next lie they're going to tell, and they're pausing and kind of looking around, and they're sort of like, they're like sort of examining the vault of their own brain for whatever bullshit they're going to say next? That's exactly what he did. He's like, can you tell us more about it? He's like, fuck, I'm going to have to make up a story.
Yeah, I got
and then
to
you
pretend.
Can see him making up the story in real
story
time.
The story he made up isn't even all that.
Once I saw a guy who didn't sleep a lot.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's paranormal.
Right.
It just means that somebody didn't sleep a lot and was energetic. I know several different drugs that would cause somebody to do that sort of thing. The other thing too is it reminds me of Pat Robertson who... time ago, Pat Robertson had that, you know, Haiti sold their soul to the devil, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's basically Pat Robertson with a smaller face on a bigger head. That's basically what he is.
Well, like supernatural type capacity. There are claims that people have seen like quasi-levitation stuff.
Yeah. What would quasi-levitation be? That's binary. Your ass either levitated or you stood on your tippy toes.
Yeah, I don't. Quasi levitation is what David Blaine does.
When yeah, right.
That like quasi. Cecil. And he pulls a fucking quarter out of your ear and a fucking Millennium Falcon out of your nose.
And he
or
lives
whatever.
In an ice block for 6 months or whatever.
And then transfers your brain into a chicken for 10 minutes. And then you come back.
He quasi levitated. He quasi levitated after not sleeping. He skipped his nap and then stood on his tiptoes.
Quasi-levitated doesn't have to run up the stairs to ring the bell. Quasi-levitated just goes right up there.
like almost head spinning type stuff.
Almost. It's not full head spinning. I can do almost full head, almost head spinning type stuff.
Man,
it's not fully, Tom. It's not, it's almost though. I mean, it's almost, it's what, 120 degrees?
Andrew says this was very common. Yeah. Here's one that when Andrew was in Haiti, there were common stories about people turning into cats at night, which I don't know. They all knew someone that turned into cats. Again, I'm not sure about that.
They all knew someone, Cecil. I heard a guy once.
I knew a guy who turned into a cat. He slept for 21 hours and then he pissed in a box.
I heard a story about a guy who turned into a cat.
This one time at band camp, I turned into a cat.
I haven't heard that, but this like supernatural energy, or just also the stuff where, you know, you look in the Hollywood films where someone like looks possessed, right? Imagine like entire towns that look that way.
No, like imagine it. Can you just like imagine if like you saw something from like a movie and then there's like a whole town like that? Who is this guy? I swear to God, if you are the audience for Charlie Kirk, what the fuck fucking brain injury have you suffered in your life?
Really, there's something went wrong in your life.
Jesus, you fucking Drano drinkers.
This is your guy. This is the guy who's going to feed me amazing information.
Holy shit. I saw a guy who once said to somebody that he knew once had a story about a guy who turned into a cat. And then he stood on his toes.
You know, the reason why you listen to Charlie Kirk, though, is so you can confirm your own biases about people who live in Haiti.
Yeah, man.
That's the only reason.
So you can be fucking racist.
You don't like the people who live in Haiti. You think they're lesser than you. Yeah. And then Charlie Kirk says they're not only lesser, they're demonic. And a lot of people down there are demonic. So anything that happens to them or someone going in there and basically wiping that slate clean, which is what you're talking about when you say recolonize Haiti, that's what you're talking about. Well, that is perfectly justified because they're demons.
Yeah, it is a loss of national sovereignty and autonomy in favor of white saviorhood through violence because they're less than people.
Yeah,
it's just fucking racist shit. And because they once heard a story about a guy who turned into a cat.
The guy who turned into a cat was very energetic about it.
We got to go right meow. I have the perfect solution. If I turned into a cat, Cecil, I would also not be a problem. Like if I turned into a cat, I'd be like, cool. I'm making biscuits and taking a nap.
Dude.
That's it.
Dude, if you're a cat, why is that even scary?
That's I know.
It's like Chucky being scary. Chucky isn't scary. He weighs 2 ounces. You'll kick him as far as a football.
Yeah.
That's not frightening. Chucky isn't frightening. He's funny. The same thing is here. A cat, that's not scary. If you turn into a fucking giant ghoul that's like the size of my door and can't fit through, that's scary. If you turn into a cat, I think, cool, just curl up in my legs when I go to sleep.
Yeah, I know, right?
Great.
I'm gonna jump up on the bed and like curl into a loaf. Like, that's it? That's my thing?
Your cats don't sleep on you, do they?
No, they don't fall asleep on me.
Our cats, every night, we lay in bed and the cats will, I'll lay and my legs will be a little apart. And so all three cats will lay in between my legs as I sleep. And then every time I have to move, I have to lift and then shift them over on the other side. And then I'll lay there and then I'll turn over. And the moment I turn over and that opening opens up again, they get up and go back in there.
They get their
spot. So the whole night, it's like a ballet between the cats and me turning and the blanket and them sliding.
I love this.
Once in a while, they'll jump off, but they literally spend the entire night, like three cats piled on each other on me. That's the whole night.
That's
the
amazing.
Sarah never has to deal with it. It's always
they
on
always
me.
Are on you.
Always on
you
me.
You probably run hot, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the deal is. I think they just recognize that I kind of have big legs and they can all fit in there.
They can all cuddle up.
They probably can't do that on Sarah. And they're like, no, I wouldn't do that. So they literally just pile on me like fucking, sometimes it's the worst because it's warm and you're just like, Jesus Christ, get up. Holy shit, you're the hot, in the winter, it's not bad. We keep our house cold. But in the summer, you're like, oh my God, I'm a fucking bird up. It's the worst.
I'm too twitchy for the cats to sleep on me. Like I fall asleep and I'm like fucking flailing around
too much.
So the cats would just be like, no, man, get the
fuck. Stay away from that one.
This one is not.
That one's
not
restful. That one's going to get up. He's energetic. He's going to run around.
this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back. He's back to Earth.
And what was your name again?
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else do I supposed to look like?
This is unbelievable. This story comes from the Tennessean. Tennessee Senate passes bill based on chemtrails conspiracy theory. So they basically passed a bill through their Senate. It's going to go to the House. This actually might become law. And it's basically like, you can't do no chemtrails over Tennessee. That's the law, guys.
Tom, you got to read it. So,
all right. So here's the law. The intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. Y'all can't do no chemtrails down here over Tennessee. Get that back up to Kentucky. Make no chemtrails over Tennessee.
These are politicians.
Yeah.
These are people who with power. These are people with power to change the laws in their state.
They're fucking stupid. This passed overwhelmingly, guys. This was not close. This was an overwhelmingly passed the Senate.
What I like is that the rest of the article is essentially chemtrails aren't a real thing.
Yeah.
It's
all like, get the fuck out of here.
It's
and here's
fucking
why.
Water vapor.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
The article is great because the article even goes in to say, like, not only are they not real, but practically speaking, they can't be real.
Yeah.
Like the technology doesn't exist to make chemtrails do any of the things that the chemtrail nuts think chemtrails can do.
If we could, man, if we could do some of those things, we could maybe change our global climate.
Yeah. Well, I do worry, Cecil, that we will, because there is some talk about what if we were to seed the environment with something that, you know, to some degree, some percentage disperses or reflects back some of the sun's rays, right? To reduce the greenhouse effect. And like, I worry that even if we were to build this, we would never be able to enact it because the nut jobs will not let us solve this problem. I am dreadfully worried that the nut jobs won't let us solve climate change, that they will not let us, that we will literally come up with a solution just like we came up with vaccines for COVID. And the nut jobs are like, yeah, well, we'll make that as shitty and difficult and you know, hard as possible. And we'll pass law. We won't wear masks. And, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just going to get in the fucking way.
I think there's ways to get around it. They just have to change their technology so you can't participate. I think that's the key. Sure, there's going to be plenty of people in there that say, you know, you put something in the atmosphere and it reflects. And, you know, maybe that won't get passed anywhere because there's too many people in the Senate or the House or wherever, maybe even in the presidential chair that won't allow that to happen. But I think about other types of technology, just a piece of technology that sucks CO2 out or something.
Carbon capture.
Like that is a lot more palatable for them because they just can't do it. They might think they can't go near it, like a 5G tower or whatever,
right, yeah.
But they're going to be crazy about all these things anyway. So it doesn't matter. The worst thing that'll happen is once in a while, somebody's going to get a gas can and try to light it on fire.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
really about it. I think, you know, you're going to have to come up with solutions that avoid the dumb because you're going to have to be, as an engineer, not just thinking about this problem. You're going to have to be thinking about this problem and how you can implement it without upsetting the apple cart of the dumbest human beings on the planet.
Yeah, because we've got a non-zero number of people that are fucking afraid of windmills. The goddamn former president of the United States.
Yeah.
He whips up anti-windmill sentiment. Yeah. Windmills have been around since the fucking 1400s, man. Windmills. We're like, whoa with the windmills. I'm just floored. I've lived my whole life. I was born in 1978. I have lived my whole life knowing that fossil fuels were either a dwindling resource, right? That was the big thing in the 80s, is that we're going to run out.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of petrochemicals. We are going to run out. We'll be out of them. Now, they keep finding more, and they keep finding more ways to extract petrochemicals. So the running out problem has been temporarily solved, right? That can has been, at the very least, kicked down the road. But that was the big problem. And everybody was like, we've got to find other ways to power the world. This was back in the 80s when we weren't talking as much about climate change. Then in the 90s and 2000s, we start talking about climate change. We have solutions like, hey, man, what about if it's just wind? We're just sunlight. And these things work. They work so fucking well at this point. They work fantastically well. These things combined with nuclear, we wouldn't need an electric car. You wouldn't need any petrochemicals at all. We're like there. Do you know what I mean? We're there.
Sure.
And we refuse to be there. We're looking. We've like done all the science work. And now it's not science that has to be done. Now it's policy that has to be done. Yeah. And people are just like, nah, I want to roll some coal in my fucking truck nuts truck. And you're like, thanks. You're all trash. It's like that episode of The Simpsons where like all the super smart people are in charge. We just need to live in, and I know it doesn't go well, but I don't give a fuck. We still need to live in that world. Because the world we have now, which is like, hey, that guy gets to vote. Like, no, I mean, that guy should just, he should put his head underwater. Put his head underwater.
When you talk about the people who are going to be driving those trucks, the thing is that nobody's ever going to stop driving those trucks. A lot of people won't.
Right.
They'll just keep doing it forever until there is no one who's producing
that truck.
Well, not the truck, because they'll keep the truck. They'll just keep machining parts and making sure it runs. It's the gas. The moment you start getting rid of the gas and making the gas very difficult to get, then they'll drive it less and less and less and less.
Right.
You got to take the fuel out of it. You got to pull the fuel away from it. If you can do that, then you have something. If you can't do that, you're never going to get rid of those things. And I think the real key is make it less profitable, less and less and less profitable. Make the other things more profitable. You'll get those giant companies that are these huge billion-dollar companies to slip away from whatever it is. They don't care about the thing. They only care about the money.
Yeah, that's something too that I'm not sure like everybody understands is nobody cares about the widget. Nobody gives a fuck about the widget. They're selling you the stock price. That's all they care about. Whatever widget they got to produce for their stock value to rise, they'll do it. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's sunshine power or if it's petrochemical power. Nobody has at those levels, nobody has an ideological stance here. This is not based and rooted in some kind of like principle. It's just pocket lining. Yeah. It's just pocket lining.
Actually, I'm usually—
check this out. My lips don't move. You'll call me up from the stand, say something like, who is this little friend? And he'll say,
my name is Judd.
Whose name is Judge?
My name is...
Okay. That's a silly name.
That's enough.
Judge. My name...
Yes, I am judging your name. It am silly.
Is...
Please stop.
Oh, now you're correcting my grammar?
Job, I'm not going to put Franklin on the stand, and your lips aren't moving. Just a little bit.
Judge.
He's right. His name is Judge now.
Business Insider. Lawsuit by Elon Musk's Twitter was an attempt to punish free speech, Judge says. Also, guys, the picture they use of Elon Musk...
Put it up here.
Is so wonderfully unflattering.
Really is.
It is so wonderfully unflattering. I adore this picture. There is nobody that would like this picture more than Sarah McLean.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she would love it. She would love Sarah, it. The person who runs our social media would absolutely
would
love it.
Would love this photo. I think I might get the screen printed on a shirt for her.
We could send her a really nice print of it to put on her wall.
We should do it.
Yeah.
Like we should get like a 6 foot by 6 foot
buy
print.
Like the Getty images and turn it into a giant like a canvas.
Yes.
Get printed on canvas.
Send it out. So Twitter was filing a lawsuit and the judge threw it out and was basically like, fuck that noise. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
The lawsuit here is that they had a group of people that said Twitter is becoming more and more of a hate speech place.
Right.
It's becoming more of a platform for people with hate speech. And this talk back and forth is what caused several people to leave Twitter, advertisers specifically. And then Elon Musk sued them because he didn't want that to be true. But it's true.
It's true.
And you can't, like, no matter what happens... You can't, no matter how much you try to sue somebody, if something's true and the judge hears it and says, no, that's real, that's okay,
yep.
Then it's okay. It's not defamation. You're not slandering the network at all. What you're doing is saying a real thing about something that's happening. The one thing I worry about is that this company or these group of people, these researchers, were able to defend themselves. Can this have a chilling effect to stop voices that don't have the funding to go to court like this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that's probably like the biggest problem, right? Because the way the justice system works, especially with civil justice, is typically it has nothing to do with who's right or legally right. It has to do with whose pockets are bigger. Because if I have bigger pockets, I can fight harder. I can delay. I can cost you money you don't have. I can force you to spend money into bankruptcy. And then I just de facto win. And we never even end up at a settlement. We never even end up in front of a judge. Court cases can take weeks, months, years. They can cost hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars in order for them to even be like considered and defended. So yeah, I mean, a guy with pockets this big, he effectively has unlimited civil action power. And that's a terrifying thing. I actually think there should be a cap on the amount of money any individual person can use in litigation in the civil court system because it's so egregiously disparate.
And it's weighted so deeply on the people with deep pockets.
Right.
They can just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They can run it just like our government.
Yeah. And they can just, and they could, I mean, the biggest, and Trump's doing this now, the best thing for rich people to do is to spend their money delaying because basically the other guy just runs out of money and then it ends. And then that's how the whole system breaks. It's like if Elon Musk were to sue me tomorrow, I lose. I will lose that lawsuit before we ever even get to a mediation room because I can't afford to fight. So I would just have to like find a way to settle immediately. So yeah, I absolutely think it has a chilling effect.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. That's the difficulty. Glad this didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it wasn't something that he could sue somebody for, but at the same time, I'm sad that this is the tactic that people use. And this is one of those guys too, it's a bastion of free speech. It's a bastion of free speech. And then someone says something and he said, well, not that.
Not that, yeah.
Well, not that. But I don't want that kind of free speech.
Yeah. Pointing out the truth on my fucking shit network
cost
me tens of millions of dollars. And you're like, well, yeah, like you said, like, well, true things are still true, bro.
It doesn't matter how many times you sue people.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe don't have a fucking platform full of hate speech. That's a really good, there's a solution to this, right? You can't feel bad, right? The solution to this was always don't have a platform with unmediated hate speech. Yeah. Try to have platforms with little to no hate speech. Like it's so simple, you shouldn't even have to say it, right? Like, and how much child pornography should be in this house? None, man.
Zero amounts.
What?
Zero.
None. Amounts.
Negative amounts.
Right. None.
Did you think of it? Because I'm going to smack you. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to be back on Thursday. This Thursday, we're going to have a goofy show on Thursday and then the following Monday. And then next Thursday, we'll have a long form article. So four shows in quick succession coming your way. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.